Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to our second review class. This review class will be focused on some things we saw in Native Talk, okay? And we are going to see some really important things that Jen uses when she's talking, and sometimes we don't really pay attention to it, okay? So I put the first sentence there. Leasing can sometimes be more economical than buying outright. Leasing can sometimes be more economical than buying outright. So why is this sentence starting with leasing with ing? So this is really important. We can use ing to turn words into nouns. A gente pode usar o ing para transformar palavras em substantivos. Okay, so here I'm talking about leasing. Eu tô falando de alugar. Lease is the verb, okay? Lease is the verb alugar. And I know that alugando seria leasing. But leasing can also mean the process or action of the verb. O processo ou ação do verbo como substantivo, como objeto. What do you mean? You may be asking. So let me show you guys some more examples here. I wrote a lot of examples. So, for example, running. When you talk about running as an activity, I'm not using running as a verb, I'm using running as a noun. Eu não estou usando o running como verbo, e sim como substantivo, okay? O que é substantivo? Objeto. So, I can say running is a healthy habit. Correr é hábito saudável. Não estou falando de correr como verbo nessa casa. Eu estou falando que a ação, o hábito, correr, é saudável. Como se correr fosse objeto, ok? Então, o ING faz muito isso. O ING é muito versátil, na verdade. A gente pode fazer isso, transformar verbo em substantivo, em objeto, ou transformar em adjetivo, para dizer que algo causa alguma coisa. Let's see the other ones there. With leading, for example, leading a team is not easy. Liderar uma equipe não é fácil. Liderar como objeto. A atividade liderar, não necessariamente como verbo. Okay, do you guys understand? So this is really useful, muito útil e é muito comum. It's really useful and very common. So there, drinking. This is a really common one in day-to-day situations. Drinking as an action or a habit means beber. So, drinking water as uma ação, como objeto, okay? Beber água. Beber água é saudável. So, the same example there. Drinking water is a healthy habit. It's not a verb, it's a noun. Não é verbo, é objeto se referindo àquela ação. Another really nice way for us to remember this is, for example, good at. You can say, I'm good at. Sou bom em, boa em, sailing. Sou boa em velejar. Eu faço essa atividade muito bem. E sailing não está como verbo, está como substantivo, como objeto, de referido à ação de velejar. I'm good at sailing. Eu sou bom em velejar. Or another sentence with buying as an action. So, for example, the buying sector, another option for objects. The buying sector is having trouble with the prices. O setor de compras está com dificuldades com os preços, okay? So, the buying sector is an object. I transformed the verb buy into an object, into a noun. But you continue using the ing as present continuous and as a way to connect one verb to the other. But keep in mind that this is also a possibility. Okay, so when you don't know how to call an activity, you probably just have to add ing to the end of the verb. Okay, so eating, for example, as an object or a habit. Eating. Okay, guys, so remember that this is another use of ing. And another detail here in this sentence is we have be there without conjugation. So, leasing can sometimes be. When we have modals, can, could, Would. Models in general. And we are talking about poder ser, poder estar. Or in could. Could be. Poderia ser, poderia estar. We have to use the verb to be without conjugation. Okay, so you could be part of this team. Você poderia ser parte dessa equipe. HR would be very interested. O RH estaria muito interessado. So I have would, that is a model, and I'm saying the verb to be. I use just be. Okay, so if you have a model, poderia estar, pode estar, estaria, be, just be. Okay, be careful with that. And outright means totally, fully, completely. So some other words we could use in its place, completely, fully. And outright also can be used as right away. So you made a decision and you are doing it right now. You can say, we are doing this outright. Like, de cara, totalmente. Decidi fazer isso de repentinamente, we can say. Okay, we are doing this outright. Okay, so if you have any questions about the ing thing that I said, ask in the comments here. So let's go to our next sentence, which is, wait until whoever is speaking is finished and check that they're done talking before you join in. So this sentence is from the native talks about conference calls. So wait until whoever is speaking is finished to check that they're done talking before you join in. Espere até que quem quer que esteja falando termine e confira que eles pararam de falar, que eles falaram tudo o que eles queriam antes de você participar e falar, né? Join in means entrar, participar. This sentence is in imperative form, okay? So when we have a sentence just starting with the verb in base form, it's usually imperative. So if you're telling someone to do something, close the window, close the door. So we have there, close is in base form, close the window. It's imperative speech. And if it's negative, it would start with don't. Don't close the window. I'm telling you what you will have or don't have to do now. Don't wait. Don't wait for it. No espere. This is imperative, okay? So if you see a sentence that is starting with verb at base form or don't, it's probably imperative. You are being told what to do or you are telling someone what to do. So if you want to tell someone to do something right now, you start the sentence with just the verb, okay? But be careful to not be rude, okay? This is a really dry way, uma forma muito seca de pedir para alguém fazer algo. So if you want to be more polite, you can say, please wait for it, or can you please wait, or things like that, okay? But if you know the person or it's something urgent, you usually just start with the verb right away. Don't wait for it, close the window, don't close the window, turn off your computer, call HR right now. This is imperative. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the ever suffix there. Whoever, quem quer que seja. We can add that to question words in general. So whoever, quem quer que seja. Whenever, quando quer que seja, quando for, just leaving it more general. Whenever, wherever, onde quer que seja, whatever, o que quer que seja. Just call her whatever you need. So let's see an example with whatever. Whatever you do, don't turn this computer off. O que quer que você faça, não importa o que você faça, não desligue esse computador. So we have whatever and the imperative there. Whatever you do, o que quer que você faça, don't turn this computer off. Estou mandando, estou falando o que a pessoa deve fazer, não desligar esse computador. Então, o que quer que você faça, não desligue esse computador. Whatever you do, don't turn this computer off. Okay? This ever suffix is very common in day-to-day, so be conscious that it exists and it is used like that. And the last thing in the sentence is the most common way to refer to finishing something is kind of an expression in English, okay? So, If somebody was waiting for you to do something and they ask you if you finished, you say, I'm finished. Eu terminei. I'm finished. She's finished. Ela já terminou. She's already finished. Ela já terminou. We're finished. This is actually the most correct way to say that you are finished doing something. To be finished, not just finished. Okay? We use the verb finish alone without the to be when we're talking about objects. So, or things. The movie finished with a really sad scene. O filme terminou com uma cena muito triste. Okay, but if you're saying that you've done doing an action, you say to be finished or to be done. The structure of the sentence is the same. So, I'm done. Eu terminei, já encerrei, fiz tudo o que eu tinha que fazer. I'm done. He's done. They're done. Eles terminaram, ele terminou. Okay, so you can say to be done or to be finished. They're the most common ways. Okay, so that's it for our second sentence. So our next sentences, I'm going to add two here, are these ones. Why don't we go to Chess Philip? Or shall we go to Chess Philip? So you're inviting someone. This is from Jen's class about how to suggest things, going places and things like that. So the first one is most common in American English and the second one is most common in British English. So we talked about shall we, that is a way to say vamos, to push the person or the people that are there to do something. Shall we go to Chess Philip's? More Chess Philip is more common in British English. And why don't we go to Chess Philip's? Por que a gente não vai no Chess Philip? So, American English, why don't we go to Chess Philip? And in British English, shall we go to Chess Philip? This isn't a rule. It's not that you're going to use this every time, but they are some of the most common ones, like Jen said in the class. But shall we really is more common to invite people in British English. And just a quick thing about this sentence is the negative interrogatives. When do we use negative interrogatives? In this case, we are inviting people, but we also use it to confirm something we already know. We just want to make sure. So you can say, didn't Brad lead that project? Oh, Brad não liderou aquele projeto. So I heard that Brad did that. But I want to make sure, so I use a negative interrogative, like we do in Portuguese. O Brad não liderou aquele projeto? Didn't Brad lead that project? Okay. And also, when you want to make clear what answer you expect, we also use negative interrogatives. So, for example, during a meeting, you see something in the presentation and you know that there's a detail missing, and you want the person that is presenting to talk about this thing that you know. So, for example, you can say, wasn't last year's market share a lot bigger? So you see that this information is missing from the presentation and you want the person to mention it. You kind of give the answer or give the information through a negative interrogative. Wasn't last year's market share a lot bigger? O market share do ano passado não era muito maior. You know this is true, but you want the person to talk about it. You can use negative interrogative. Okay, it sounds good and it's polite. Okay, it's a way to add information to places and make sure that people mention what they're supposed to mention. Okay, so that's it for this sentence. Let's go to our next one. So our next sentence is from Jen's video about sports idioms. It's, Tim didn't send me those files for my presentation today. He's really dropped the ball on this one. Just an important thing about the sports idioms is that they are mostly used in American English. So if you are talking to Australians and New Zealanders and British, maybe they won't know all these idioms. So it's for sure most common in American English. But just saying which ones are the most common, it's drop the ball, the one that is in this sentence. So, I know I dropped the ball on this. So, I know I dropped the ball on this. Eu sei que eu errei, que eu não fiz o que era esperado dessa vez. And the strike one is also very common. Okay, so I think it's the most common. That was his third strike this week. This is usually negative, okay? Strike in baseball, if you get three strikes, you are out. So, strike is a negative thing. So, if you say, that was his third strike this week, esse foi o terceiro erro dele essa semana, esse foi o terceiro furo dele nessa semana. So, it's the third time he makes a mistake. That was his third strike this week. It's very common. And here, we have the past simple. So, remember that past simple is used for things that happened in a specific moment in the past and finished, okay? So, the action started and ended in the past, which is the case in this sentence. Tim didn't send me those files. O Tim não me enviou aqueles arquivos em um momento específico que era para ele ter enviado. Então, eu didn't. Tim didn't send me those files. So, if it was in affirmative, Tim sent me those files. Negative, Tim didn't send me those files. We use the verb in base form. And did Tim send you those files? Or Tim te enviou aqueles arquivos? I'm talking about something in the past that concluded in the past. Okay? These are the three forms of the present simple. Okay, let's go to our next one. So, our last part in this review class is Jen's last native talk. Guys, this class is very important. This is something that is very common and you will use a lot. So, I suggest you watch the last native talk a few times so you really absorb that vocabulary. I brought here the three most common ones. The way that you tell people about your job position and where you work, okay? So the first one, I'm a software engineer at Facebook. So you always use I am and then your position and then at. And let me just write it here. So one of the possibilities, I'm a, so you always add a before you say your position. I'm a blah, 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 at blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is the structure, and you will use this a lot, a lot, a lot. So that's the first option. I'm a software engineer at Facebook when you want to say your position. Or I work as a blah, 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 your position at blah, blah, blah. So you always use at before the place. And then Jen gives you the option of saying where you work and how long you've worked there without saying your position. So when you don't want to specify, you say, I've been with the company, you put in the name of the company, for, and then if you want to be specific, you say exactly the time that you were there. So, I've been with Dell for 5 years, specifically, or I've been with Dell for, always use for, 2 months, just got there. I've been with Dell for 2 months. And if you don't want to be so specific, you can say about or approximately. I've been with Dell for about 5 months. I've been with Dell for approximately 5 months. These sentences are surely the most common kind of thing that you will talk about, even when you're not in your work space, or if you're not talking about work in day-to-day conversations, talking to friends or family about what you do, you will use these sentences, okay? So remember that they don't change a lot. So I'm a teacher at Fluency Academy. I work as a teacher at Fluency Academy. We always use at before the place. And if you just want to say where and how long, you just say I've been with, eu estou com eles, eu estou na empresa há tanto tempo. Or for about tanto tempo, por aproximadamente tanto tempo. So let's see the pronunciation one more time. I'm a software engineer at Facebook. I work as a secretary at Google. And I've been with Dell for about 3 years. So I hope you guys were able to remember some important things here. If you have any questions, leave them in the platform. Remember to watch the live classes because you can ask your questions. And remember to participate in the community. And never forget to make your questions, okay? We will answer you, we will help you with pleasure. Okay, guys, so that's it for our second review class. See you next time. Bye.